Ladies and gentlemen, sports fans alike, welcome to another edition of Bill Swirsky's Sports Talk Chicago, one of the couple, two, three best podcasts around. So sit back, grab yourself a cold one and a Polish sausage, park your keister in the French room, and listen to Bill Swirsky's Sports Talk Chicago.
In Chicago, you know that all sports rock. The Bears, Hawks, Bulls, Cubs, and Sox. Pick your favorite, you can choose, as long as the Packers lose. For everything you need to know, it's Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago. Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Bill Swirsky Sports Talk Chicago. This is your hosts, Alex and Sean. On this episode, we are going to be talking about King Poles, taking care of business, and every awesome thing that surrounds that. But first, I'd like to thank our sponsor, the Rockford Ice Hogs. If you're not familiar with the Rockford Ice Hogs, they're the AHL minor league affiliate of the Chicago Blackhawks. What does that mean for you? You get to see the stars of tomorrow today at family-friendly, affordable prices. The season is going on right now, so head on over to icehogs.com, get yourself a hat, shirt, jersey, tickets, and more. Tell them Swirsky Sports sent you. Alex, I know that there was some bit of news that happened this week that changed your outlook on things, and tell me where you were and how you felt after the news.
Okay, so this is kind of a funny story. So I'm now a member at a park district nearby at their gym. So I work remote Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So I usually finish work about 3:30. So right after work, I'll go to the gym. So Friday, I'm at the gym. I'm on the elliptical. And I am pedaling on the elliptical and watching Seinfeld on my phone. And all of a sudden, I get texts from people saying, like, holy cow, that return from the Panthers. And I knew all day that there was, you know, rumblings that we could be trading with the Panthers very soon. And then I'm thinking, holy crap, we actually did it. We traded with the Panthers. So then I kind of slowed my pedal, but maintained it a little bit and, you know, closed out Netflix, went on my phone, looked at Twitter, looked at the return, and I almost fell off the elliptical. Like, I honest to God almost fell off. I couldn't believe that the return I was looking at was what we were actually getting. I'm like, okay, is this confirmed? Is this just like a fake account? And I'm scrolling and it's everyone's reflecting the same thing. I was speechless in a good way. For once, I was seeing Bears news and I was speechless in a good way. I could not believe it. I think you and I owe Ryan Poles an apology because we were kind of downplaying the potential return of what we could get. But holy cow.
Yeah. Hashtag fleeced was trending on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what I take away from this trade, because it's kind of funny, we were talking about the compensation on this show before, and we were talking about what we could possibly get in 2024. We knew we were going to get whoever we were trading with, you know, their first round pick, obviously. But, you know, what I'm trying to say is we thought it was going to be a big deal if we got two first round picks this year's and the next year's with the team we were trading with. And they did get that, but I don't think that's what people are talking about the most. I think what people are talking about the most from this trade is the fact that we got a legitimate wide receiver under multiple years of control in this deal. I mean, right. Wouldn't you agree? That's the biggest topic of conversation. We got a weapon for Justin Fields, a guy who has multiple years of 1,000 plus receiving yards.
And he almost got 1,000 yards this year with the rotating clown show of quarterbacks that the Panthers had.
Right. Exactly. It's not like he had in prime Cam Newton throwing to him. You can look at who was throwing to him. You had Sam Darnold, the shell of Cam Newton. You had a bunch of just blah throwing to him, and look how productive he's been.
Yeah, so in case you are literally living under a rock and somehow listening to this podcast, The Bears had the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, and they traded it to the Carolina Panthers for the number nine overall pick. So basically the Bears move back eight spots, pick up the number 61 pick in this year's draft. So a second round pick. The Panthers first round pick next year, their second round pick in 2025, and wide receiver DJ Moore, who is 25 years old, has 3,000 yard receiving seasons under his belt and is under team control for a less than market value for the next three seasons.
And even taking on that contract, which again, you said good market value, you're still number one in cap space.
Yes, you're still number one in cap space, and you still have like something like $50 million to hit the cap floor.
Exactly. Now, Sean, here's something that I kind of wanted to bring up. You would say that far and away the most rumored team we were talking about trading with potentially was the Colts, right? Like, it made sense. The Colts are there at number four. They would only have to move up a few spots. They need a young quarterback. They've been doing the veteran thing for years. But what did I point out a few times on this show in the past? That the smoke around Carolina was getting a little bit thicker. And now here we are. Because look, it made perfect sense for Carolina. They need a quarterback. You can look at the Colts situation. You could argue it's been even worse for the Carolina Panthers. You want to talk about a rotating door. Look at what the Carolina Panthers have had the past 4 years. They need a quarterback. And I think that you're kind of, it's a balancing act right now, because if you traded with the Colts, you would have stayed in the top five. The biggest thing with this trade is, like, if there's a drawback, is you're not staying in the top five. You're moving out of the top five, but it's the compensation that you're getting along with that number nine pick that is making this worth it.
Right. And this is, I would say this is probably not the greatest of drafts, certainly not as good as last year. But after you hit the top 10, you really start to fall off. And there's certain positions that are deeper than others. Like cornerback is pretty deep. Tight end is fairly deep. Running back. But wide receiver, not that good of depth. And the thing is one of my major concerns with the Bears going into free agency in the draft was they needed another, you know, top receiver, either a stud rookie, like a first round rookie pick, or trade for a veteran that could help them out. And I didn't know how they were going to get it, because, you know, DeAndre Hopkins scares me because Arizona is overvaluing him. And he's 30 years old and he's expensive and he's coming off a PED suspension. He makes me nervous. And you're like, who else could be available? Part of it was, could the Bears get multiple firsts this year or move back far enough to make, because the wide receivers, there's like four, maybe five first round receivers in this draft. And then after that, there's a pretty significant drop off. And the problem is that they're all about the 12 to 30 range. And so if you're picking in the top five, you're way overvaluing or overdrafting a wide receiver. And so you sort of have to trade back into the 12 to 15 range to be, you know, that's where the run probably start. Maybe the run starts about 10 or 11, but that's around when the wide receivers will start going. And so you don't want to pick them too early. So I was like, maybe they trade back and get into that range where they could get a Jackson Smith and the Jigba or a Quentin Johnson or a Jordan Addison or Josh Downs. But it was a big concern of mine because I don't feel like you could go into this draft and not come out with another good quality wide receiver. So that this draft was, or this trade was huge for that. And from what I'm hearing is Carolina wanted to give its 2025 first round pick. So they swap number ones this year. They're number two this year. They're number one next year. And they're number one and two in 2025. And the Bears held strong and said, no, you got to throw in DJ Moore. And lo and behold, they caved. And I think the brass of Carolina instantly had some regrets because they almost immediately came out and said, well, we're willing to trade back. I think that they realized that they needed to recoup some of that because they gave up a little too much.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. The way I see it is, look, your first pick is number nine. Your second is not until 53. And then you have 61. Well, you know what? That wide receiver you wanted to draft, to your point, you kind of took care of that, right? With DJ Moore. That's kind of like you drafting a wide receiver in a way. And better. I think, sure.
Because he's already an established receiver in this league. There is no learning curve. He's there.
Right. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And look, now you can look at your wide receiver core and you look at best case scenario. You say, okay, you got DJ Moore. You got Darnell Mooney. You got Chase Claypool. So there's three right there. You know, you can look at those guys as your top three, right? I mean, that's, you would probably consider Moore your number one at this point, right?
I would think so.
Yeah. And I mean, then, you know, second, I would say Darnell Mooney.
I would agree.
And then three, you probably put Chase Claypool, right?
Right. And I, based on the progression of the season and where that he was drafted, Velus Jones, probably four.
Yeah. And then Equanimeous St. Brown or somebody else five. And I still wouldn't be opposed to bringing in another wide receiver. I mean, I know whoever they would bring in wouldn't be a one or a two, but if you brought in one more guy to be like a solid three or four, maybe, I wouldn't be opposed to that either, whether it's a later round draft pick or a free agent. I know it's kind of slim pickings there, but if they made one more move to get another wide receiver just for some cushion, because I think that Velus Jones, he showed a lot in those last few games, and whether or not they were a fluke, we'll see. But I think he at least showed that if he can hang on to the ball, he's a very good special teams guy at the very least. So I do think they are going to try to work him into this team next year as much as they can. So I would, for the time being, I would count on Velus Jones being there. You extended Equanimeous St. Brown, but you gave him pennies. So it's not like you're completely married to him, even though you did give him an extension. So I don't dislike the idea of maybe bringing in one more person, but you don't have to break the bank. You don't have to spend quality draft spots to get him. And you don't have to trade away assets to get somebody big at this point with this move.
Right. Agreed.
DJ Moore is 25, right? He's going to soon to be 26. He's like as old as Velus Jones, and Velus Jones was a rookie last year. DJ Moore has been in the league since 2018. That's wild to me.
I mean, there's one wide receiver that was flirting on Twitter with Justin Fields prior to the trade. And that's Mecole Hardman. That's an interesting name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, is, but I don't know if you have enough targets to go around, because you've got the big three in wide receivers. You also have Cole Kmet,
who was your leading receiving yards and touchdowns, I believe. Yes. He was your number one target last year, was Cole Kmet. He had more touchdowns far and away on the team. The next person to have, he had seven touchdown catches last year. The next was Dante Pettis with three. And Cole Kmet's 544 yards was the most receiving yards by anybody on the Bears last year.
Yeah. And, you know, he's become a significant target for you. So I think you do have the weapons. I think the next step is obviously rebuilding that offensive line and retooling the running back room, because you don't have enough running backs right now.
No, you don't. And, you know, Saquon Barkley's not happening. And I feel like, you know, we won't say for sure until it happens, but I'm getting the vibe that they're moving on from Dave Montgomery.
Yeah, the fact that he has not, you know, we're not hearing about an offer. I think they are moving on, and I would not be surprised if it's a draft pick.
Oh, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either.
I mean, like, listen, I do like Chase Claypool, and I do think it was partially a tactic to underutilize him, not to the degree it was, but I think it was partially they underutilized him as part of the tank. I think he's going to be a significant member of this team next year. But had the Bears been able to keep if the Bears had been able to keep that second round pick, Bijan Robinson, the running back, would have been amazing to have on this team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I, you know, it's funny because I look right now at the picks the Bears have in this coming draft, and the top three are from other teams. So we have the Panthers number nine, then both our second round picks, because they spent their own on Chase Claypool. They have the second from the Ravens in the Roquan trade and the second from the Panthers, which was also from this trade. And then three and four, your third round pick and your first fourth round pick, those two picks are your own. And then your second fourth round pick is from the Eagles in the Robert Quinn trade. Your first fifth round is yours, and your second fifth round is from the Patriots. And then you have the seventh, 219 overall. And then you got that seventh comp pick as well, 259.
Which is one away from Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah. You think they draft a kicker with that pick?
Who knows? I mean, you know, what's possible, but you know, usually that kicker is going to be at 259. That kicker is going to be available as a rookie free agent.
Yeah. I'm kind of half kidding. So
no, I mean, you sort of, with the seventh round picks you have, you go, all right, who are we identifying as priority rookie free agents? And if it's a guy that you're like, in your priority free agent list, you're like, I want to guarantee he's on my team. You spend that seventh round on him, you know, and that's sort of how you balance out seventh rounder versus rookie free agent, is do you think you can get him in your camp? Because once they're a free agent, you know, multiple teams are going to reach out and offer contracts and varying amounts of money. And, you know, the player is going to look at, all right, does the team that's reaching out to me have a hole in the position I play? You know, you look at Jack Sanborn, and you're like, okay, you know, it's local, and he felt that he would have an opportunity to play, and he got plenty of opportunity to play. And that's, that's you know, sort of works. But if you feel like, hey, maybe I couldn't bring him in, he's from farther away, he won't, you know, he's not local, you spend that seventh round draft pick to guarantee he's in your camp.
Yeah, so it'll obviously be interesting when you got two seventh round picks to see how they handle that. But, you know, obviously you have a lot of, you have a lot of draft capital this year. You do.
And yeah, 10 picks.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, think of those years of Ryan Pace.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was about to say. I was like, think of the Ryan Pace eras where we're getting like five draft picks. This is huge. I know we got a lot of draft picks last year, but it was because
they were fifth and sixth round picks.
Yeah, it was Ryan Poles mid draft was trading back to pick up multiple picks, and they were all later rounds.
I mean, you have six picks in the top four rounds.
Yeah,
it's pretty solid.
I know the Bears are rivaling the Blackhawks in their stockpiling picks.
I don't know if you saw my meme, but I took the money fight meme from The Simpsons between Smithers and Mr. Burns, and I said Kyle Davidson and Ryan Poles will be like, and the caption is draft pick fight.
But these are the things that happen when you let King Poles cook.
Yeah. And you know what else is kind of exciting to think about? The chances Carolina is going to be any good next year are pretty slim. Like, they're tearing it all down. They're rebuilding. They could absolutely suck next year. That means a better pick for us. Could you imagine if they finish top five next year and we get that pick?
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
And
that would be huge.
Here's why this is so big on multiple fronts. Let's say, and I'm not saying this is going to happen. I am just saying, if worst case scenario happens where Justin Fields doesn't look like he's your guy, I think he is. I really do. But if for whatever reason that happened, well, if Carolina finishes high, then you got a premium draft pick in that spot. So there's a little bit of comfort there. And of course, if the Bears do really well, Justin Fields thrives, they take a big step. All right, we just need to make a few more moves to be a legit Super Bowl contender. And you get like a top three pick. Well, then maybe you could do the whole thing over again. You know, I don't know what the mock looks like for next year, but, you know, let's say there are quarterbacks going high and Justin Fields is the guy and you don't need it. So you're like, all right, let's try to sell this again. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome?
The only thing that scares me, not it scares me, but makes me worried about that Carolina pick possibly not being super awesome is the fact that their division absolutely stinks.
I mean, it does.
I mean, maybe the Saints run away with it because they have a real quarterback.
Yeah.
A real quarterback.
I mean, I don't think Derek Carr is great, but I think if you put a guy like Derek Carr on that team, they'll at least be semi-respectable. The team I do worry about though, is like, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are effed right now.
Oh, they're going to be so bad. They're tanking. They're absolutely, that team is going to be dreadful.
Ooh, you know what? That makes me think, I just got to bring this up. Speaking of that. So at work, my boss and I, and some of my coworkers were doing a big sports poll where the more you get right, the more money you win. And it's a ton of questions across all sports. And we said, what was going to be the first overall pick next year? Who was going to be the worst team in the NFL? I said the Arizona Cardinals, but now that I'm thinking more and more about Tampa Bay, I'm like, oh, maybe that's a candidate. I wonder what your opinion is on that.
I think either one is a good choice. Arizona, I don't think Kyler Murray is going to play very much this season.
No, he's not. You lost J.J. Watt. You mm-hmm. might trade away
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep.
So I think they're going to be bad. But at least you'll have Kyler Murray at some point this season. And you have the number three overall pick, which I think they will be trading back to pick up some extra picks. So you at least have some draft capital to get better. The Buccaneers, they're going to have a fairly high draft pick this year, and they don't have any money. They're still over the cap.
Right.
They have to make cuts. They're rolling with Kyle Trask as their starting quarterback this year.
Yeah, boy, I'm starting to rethink this then. Yeah.
I mean, I did like Kyle Trask coming out of college. I will say that.
But he's a rookie.
No, he's not. He's been in the league a couple years.
Has he?
Yeah.
But how much has he played?
None. I don't think he's played at all.
Okay, so that's what I'm trying to say. Like, he's not a rookie, but he hasn't played for shit.
Oh, he hasn't played at all. He was in the 2021 draft.
Yeah, I kind of completely forgot about him, honestly. Yeah,
I liked him coming out of Florida. I didn't love him. I thought he was a guy that, you know, the teams that you're like, we don't need a quarterback, or, you know, we have a bridge quarterback that is good enough. Kyle Trask was the guy I would be like, he's the guy I'm taking. It's not a long shot flyer, but he's the mid round picks quarterbacks, that you're like, you know what? I'll spend a third or fourth round pick on him and see what he can do. And we'll see what he can do.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I go back and forth on this. I mean, it's one of those things where you can see either way. Cause I mean, my justification for the Cardinals was Kyler Murray's going to be hurt most of the year. They lost all those guys. They were a disaster last year. I don't see it turning around very well the next year. Carolina is a candidate too. You know, even if they do draft one of those quarterbacks, they're going to be a rookie on a team that really doesn't have much, because McCaffrey's gone and now DJ Moore is gone. So you don't really have much there.
And you're not going to be able to draft a wide receiver very high in a not very deep wide receiver draft.
No.
I mean, they do have a little bit of money to play with, but especially now that, they're getting DJ Moore's contract off the books, but they don't have there's not a lot of wide receivers on the market. So I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're just going to stink. And, their division. I mean, I think the Saints probably win that division.
But what, like what, 7-10 or 8-10, you know, something like that.
They were 7-10 last year with really, I think they're closer to 500.
That's fair.
I think the Bucs are terrible. It's going to be, what do the Falcons look like?
Yeah, and I think the Falcons won't be good, but I do think they'll be better. Like, I see the Falcons being better than Carolina or Tampa Bay. I just think they have a little more talent with this, some younger talent there. But again, not saying they're going to be good.
But what's even more awesome about this trade is at the trade deadline, the Green Bay Packers offered their first round pick for DJ Moore and Carolina said no.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. And honestly, I think DJ Moore would have been a nice fit in Green Bay.
I think they made the playoffs with him.
I think so too. So again, another thing that has fallen right for the Bears. And that's something I really do have to emphasize here is, we can now truly appreciate the process on how we got here. We can appreciate the fact that Ryan Poles took an old, washed up, expensive roster that he inherited, just stripped it down to the studs, replaced garbage with even more garbage so you could be garbage, so you could be in a position to draft high. And then you suck, even in a lot of close games, you lose all those close games. And then next thing you know, you get the first overall pick because you suck. And because Davis Mills threw a fourth and 20 Hail Mary miracle that was millimeters away from being picked off.
I still, every time I watch that play, I still go, oh, that's getting intercepted. Even though I've seen it 500 times and I know exactly what happens, I go, that's getting intercepted. And it
if you watched it live, you would probably think for the first second to second and a half that got picked off until you realized, oh, that's a white uniform Texan that is holding up the ball and signaling touchdown. And also keep in mind that Mills was hit like the second he got rid of the ball. Like there was no room for error on that play. And that play could be what's absolutely responsible for the quicker turnaround of this franchise. Was Lovie Smith beating the Colts to help us get the number one pick? Something that I'm sure Texans fans were furious about, something that we celebrated. And Sean, what I think just speaks most to me is I was thinking about this yesterday when I was leaving the gym. I think about that game against the Commanders where Darnell Mooney didn't quite get over the line. I think about that game against the Vikings where that one receiver who I already forgot his name, Smith Marset, I believe it was, when he fumbled inbounds.
Yep.
When they were like, driving.
He didn't even fumble. A grown man took the ball away from him.
Just
yoinked it out of his hands.
Right. Instead of going out of bounds, it just got completely ripped out on what looked like a potential game-winning drive. I think about the game that pissed me off the most last year was that 2-touchdown lead blown game to the Lions at home. I was like, I knew what the Bears were trying to do, and I knew it was good for the draft pick, but the meatball in me, I was furious when we lost that game. I think about the Chase Claypool no call in that thriller against the Dolphins. I think about that 17-3 blown lead to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers at home, a game that I am forever convinced that they took the foot off the gas to lose that game. It's probably a complete meatball take, but the way that Luke Getsy called so unbelievably conservative, if he doesn't call conservative, they win that game easily. And they could have won that game easily, but they didn't. And then, of course, there was that loss against the Falcons where you had a chance to win it and you had multiple QB runs on the final drive of a game in a crucial spot. All that now, it means everything that we lost those games. Any one of those wins, we're not in the spot. We hang on against Green Bay. We don't blow it against the Lions. Darnell Mooney gets over the line. Any of those games, any of those moments, what would that have done? One or two more wins? We wouldn't be in this position now. It was all worth it. It was all worth it. And it was actually a bad season by design. This wasn't a Ryan Poles, Matt Nagy desperation. We need to keep our jobs. Oh shit, we had a bad season. We have no draft picks. We have no cap space. This roster is ancient. We're fucked. None of that. It was garbage by design. It was supposed to be garbage, and this is the payoff.
Yep. And as much as we hated this every single week, Ryan Poles is sitting in his office hating every minute of it as well. And he's like, we're not going to do that again. And here they are. And one more thing I want to say about DJ Moore is you look at his stats between 10 and 19 yards. He's been one of the best wide receivers in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Who was number one in the league in passes efficiency in that range? Justin Fields. So you add a guy who's been elite in that range with a guy who hits those passes.
The fit's perfect.
Fits perfect. It allows Darnell Mooney and Chase Claypool to go for deeper shots. And it just changes the way that this offense operates. And I'm here for it.
Yeah. I know it's exciting and it makes you feel better about the direction of this team. Because look, when we, it was a big deal when we got the first overall pick, it was a big deal.
Oh, but very big deal.
But we didn't know what was going to be in store after. We knew we were going to trade back, but what were we going to trade back for? Is, you know, we were really underestimating it. I was expecting to see the trade and be like, all right, I guess it's fine. You know, it helps you for your future, but getting a haul like this, I mean, there were rumors leading up to that trade that we started hearing more and more that teams were going to be offering first round picks in multiple years. We heard Ryan Poles say some things, he's been more open and honest and vocal in 1 year than Ryan Pace in his entire, however long it was, tenure from 2015 to 2021. You know, we heard so much more just openness and honesty from him. And all of a sudden you're thinking, you know, maybe this won't be as light as we think. And now here we are with an absolute haul. And this isn't something that I don't think people are looking, like Bears fans are looking at biasly. You have fans all over the league that are like, wow, that is an unbelievable haul.
It's just awesome. It's absolutely awesome. And, you know, honestly, I started to see the writing on the wall that maybe the compensation was going to be more than I anticipated after the combine, when I saw CJ Stroud just ace the combine, threw great, just physically looked like an NFL quarterback. And when Bryce Young measured at 5'10", that made me go, I bet a lot of teams are just, we're out. And, you know, Richardson and Levis, they looked like the parts, but I think those guys are projects. I think those guys are 3 to 4 years before they're, you know, anything to write home about.
Now, I haven't watched much Florida football, honestly. I just know what I hear is, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but Anthony Richardson seems to have the reputation of he's got a great arm, but there's some accuracy things that need to be worked on.
Same with Levis.
Yeah.
Both guys. Yeah. I mean, Anthony Richardson is probably as elite as an athlete as we've ever seen at quarterback. I mean, the measurables beat out Justin Fields. Just phenomenal. But yeah, a lot of accuracy issues. And accuracy is tough to teach at the NFL level. Going from college to the pros, you know, it's not a lot of guys have gotten better in their accuracy. So there's a lot of things that need to be worked on. Same thing with Levis, but both guys have big cannon arms and they have the size that you're looking for and they're athletic. And I think they're projects. So for me, team that's trading up is going after CJ Stroud. That just, he checks every single box you have. He's played, yeah. He played at the, you know, arguably the most elite level you can. He plays at Ohio State. He's played in big time games. He hasn't shrunk at those big time games. He's shined. He has elite production on tape. He has the size. And he showed up at the combine, showed out at the combine. Every checkbox you have, you know, Bryce Young, you look at him and you're like, this guy on film is special. If he was 6'4", 230 pounds, the Bears would have got even bigger haul because teams would have been salivating to get him. You know, but when it became, hey, there's one guy who doesn't have warts of the quarterbacks, a team traded a lot to get him. I think other teams are going to say, hey, we're willing to take one of the other guys and work around it, work around the warts. But I honestly, in my mock, I did a, you know, a quick 10, first 10 pick mock. And I have quarterbacks going 1 through 4.
Okay. That's interesting because I'm looking at this other mock and it's almost like that, but the Arizona Cardinals are taking Will Anderson. So in this mock, this is Sporting News I'm looking at. They got CJ Stroud going to the Panthers, the Texans taking Bryce Young, the Cardinals taking Will Anderson, and the Colts taking Richardson. And then they have the Raiders taking Will Levis at 7.
I had the Raiders trading up to 3 to get Will Levis. So I,
okay.
So my mock, I'll just do the first 5 here. We'll get to the other ones later. I have Carolina at 1 with CJ Stroud, Bryce Young at 2 to Houston, the Raiders trading up to 3 to get Will Levis, Indianapolis going Anthony Richardson at 4, and Seattle taking Will Anderson at 5, which for them, they've got to be just jumping for joy.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with the Seahawks is, you know, they signed Geno Smith again, and I still thought there was a possibility. They're like, okay, maybe they signed Geno Smith to be their guy for now, and then you draft somebody to sit behind him. But I do feel like that the Seahawks are going to probably look to shore up the team around Geno Smith. I think that there's confidence from Pete Carroll that he can continue to get more out of Geno Smith. And I mean, look, but the thing with the Seahawks is they did make the playoffs last year with Geno Smith. I do wonder if Geno Smith's going to repeat that performance again, but I would not be surprised at all if they didn't draft a quarterback and they did indeed draft somebody else. Like, this one has Jalen Carter on their mock draft. So that's another interesting thing too, with everything that's going on with Jalen Carter. Is that going to affect his draft stock? I don't know.
I think Seattle will draft a quarterback. The guy that pops into my head is Hendon Hooker from Tennessee in probably the 3rd or 4th round.
Right. I mean, like first round pick.
Yeah. I mean, for them, you have a guy who is going to play well enough. And I think Pete Carroll is a good enough coach to get the best out of him. I think if you're them, you're like, you know what? We got him for 3 years. We'll draft somebody to develop, but we like where the value of the pick of getting Will Anderson, who's a potentially, you know, generational pass rusher, and we get him at 5. You know, that's pretty special without having to move anywhere.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair. Now, here's another question I have looking at these top picks. I wonder, like, what is the end game for the Falcons? You know, you have pieces, but your quarterback last year was Marcus Mariota.
And they cut him.
Yeah, and they cut him. So what are you going to do?
They've got Ridder, who was their draft pick they had, who I think they're fairly high on.
Do you think so? Because I'm not sure. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that they're not. I don't really know. I mean, Ridder is what, 23, 24 years old?
I think that they are probably, fingers crossed, hopeful. Not truly hopeful.
Right.
Like they're publicly hopeful and say they like him. But I think behind closed doors, they're like, you know, what other option do we have? And I don't think they have a good option. I don't think they're going to get another quarterback that's better in this draft without paying trading through up the nose.
Right.
And I don't think, I mean, who knows? I mean, Ryan Pace is there. You have no idea what
that. Never they might, underestimate Ryan Pace.
And they might give up the farm to move up, but
I'm going to control your minds to move up one spot so we could get Will Levis.
I have a feeling that they're just going to try to build around him, around Ridder, and see what they have. And if it's you've got an elite tight end, if you build that line around him, you've got a running back / wide receiver that's a good player. So you're not devoid of talent. It's you've just got to put him in a spot to be able to win ball games and and let him play a little bit and see what you have. And I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably accurate, because I think that the Falcons, they're kind of like Detroit, where if you're not in a position to take a quarterback, like one of the top quarterbacks, you're not going to do it. Obviously, I would trust Jared Goff more than I would Ridder, because Ridder's only played a handful of games in the NFL, and at least Jared Goff has a resume behind him. But I think it might be that similar approach. But I don't know for sure. I don't know how much they like Ridder. I don't know how much they feel like he's going to be the guy. Like, if they had some sort of a way to get one of these quarterbacks, like, I mean, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but you never know. I mean, what if a Will Levis or a Richardson fell to Atlanta? Would they be at all tempted? I don't know. I don't think that if they didn't fall, if they weren't projected to fall, if they felt like, okay, Levis and Richardson are most likely going to be gone, then I don't think they would trade up.
No, I don't think they're going to trade up. If one of those guys fell, I think they would be tempted, but I think it would be, it's a tough position to be in when you have one young guy that you don't know enough about and you're going to draft another guy who's a project. That's tough, because
it is tough.
Neither guy is, it's not like the guy that's the project is going to have the opportunity to learn behind a veteran quarterback. He's going to be learning behind a guy that's learning too. And somebody's got to get those snaps, and somebody's going to be sitting there not developing. It's a tough position to be in. I don't like it. Even if you had good hopes for one of those two players, I would probably still stand pat and say, you know what? We made our bed with Ridder. I think we have to build around him and, you know, either build up our defense, which is terrible, or build weapons and a line in front of Ridder and, you know, give him the best opportunity to succeed. I think that's your better play, is, you know, you made yourself a bed and it doesn't look very comfortable, but it's your bed.
Yeah, and I don't see the Falcons going out for anybody. Like, Derek Carr is, you know, sounds like he's going to the Saints.
He's already signed. He signed.
Is it official? Okay. Yeah. I just wasn't sure if it was official yet. But okay, so Derek Carr is officially a Saint. And then, you know, if Aaron Rodgers is going to get traded anywhere, it's going to be the Jets, which is a whole other, you know, story that we're waiting on every day. It's the same. Will he make a decision? If so, you know, the Jets and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, obviously that's out of the question. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense what you're saying.
How long until Aaron Rodgers is texting wiener pictures to people in on his path of being Brett Favre?
You know, so here's something that's wild. If you think about it, you know, you never know what he was doing in that dark room. So I don't know if he was texting wee pictures or not, but think about this.
it's an all black picture. Just like, it's a wee picture from my dark room.
Yeah, I just wanted to send you this wiener picture. Man, at least Brett Favre's, you could clearly see it. But, okay, so look, think about this. Let's say Aaron Rodgers does indeed go to the Jets, if this does happen. So that would mean Aaron Rodgers' final pass as the Packer would have been a pick, right? Because I don't think they got the ball back after that pick.
Did you see Sauce Gardner's tweet to Aaron Rodgers?
I did.
That was amazing. That was a, I guess you could come here, but I'm still going to clown on you.
Oh my goodness. That's funny. Yeah. I mean, it's weird because, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers throws a pick at the end of his Packers tenure and he goes to the Jets. Well, Brett Favre did the same thing. His final pass as a Packer was in the NFC Championship in overtime, and he threw a pick against the Giants. And then he went to the Jets. Like, that's wild.
It's amazing. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I hope the Jets, if they do trade for him, just hold strong and say, we hold all the cards. We are not going to give you a haul. Either you take this guy back or we give you third round pick.
And I think Green Bay's done with Rodgers. Like, I really think they're done with it.
Oh yeah. But the thing is they're sort of stuck.
Like, they are.
They can't. So I don't think the pick that they get for him will be in this draft. I think it will be next year's draft. And they can't cut him or trade him until they have to designate it as a post June 1st trade. So I don't even think that the draft pick could be in this draft because the financial hit had, they have to spread it out. So they'll have to designate it as a post June 1 trade. And so it's all whether or not, I mean, I think they're, you know, Packers fans think they're going to get like multiple first round picks. I don't think so. It's one team. There is one team that he's willing to go to.
It's the Patrick Kane situation, pretty much.
Yes. Except it might be worse. So, you know, if I'm the Jets, I am lowballing the crap out of them. You know, you're sort of in a corner, but at least you have some outs. Like, you could go after Jimmy Garoppolo. You could go after Teddy Bridgewater, or Jameis Winston's going to be available. And none of those are fantastic options, but I'm just saying is you do have an option for a veteran quarterback.
Won't Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield be available?
Both Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold will be available. Jameis Winston, from what I'm hearing, is he's either going to have to take a massive pay cut or they're going to cut him. But if he sees the opportunity to potentially start in with the Jets, you know, and again, I think he could be okay there. Jimmy Garoppolo is an option. So
I could see Jimmy Garoppolo, just because, I mean, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is great, but you know, he's got that reputation of being that game manager, and he's been in a lot of big games. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's won some playoff games. So I could kind of see them going with a Jimmy G, where they could kind of control everything. You're like, all right, this is our plan. This is what we're doing. You know, here, you're going to be our game manager, and you're going to manage this plan that we put out there. So I could definitely see that. Boy, if they did Carson Wentz, they would be so dumb to do that.
You can't. He is not a good dude to have on your team, and he's a bad quarterback.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that he was once like a premier young name in the game. I mean, remember in 2016, how big he was with the Philly.
He went second overall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's a bad idea. I think, you know, I don't love Jameis Winston, but I think he's a significant better option than Zach Wilson.
A lot better than Zach Wilson these days.
Yeah. So you have a couple of options.
Rodgers is obviously far and away the best, but
it just depends on the compensation and
right
the cap situation. So, you know, that's if the Packers, I mean, honestly, you have the Packers by the cojones here, because you could just be like, nah, we're not giving you that. Keep him. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a no trade clause, but he could just retire, and he could retire now. And that would absolutely cripple the Packers salary cap situation, and they would get nothing in return.
Yeah, though I don't think that's, I think Aaron Rodgers wants to play. I could be wrong. I'm guaranteeing he's not going to retire. If I was a betting man and you said, is he going to play or is he not going to play in 2023? My guess is he would.
I still think Tom Brady's going to play. So
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think he's going to come back out. I think, you know, not to, to completely spin this off, but I think he retired and he made a one last ditch effort to win his ex-wife back. She was not having any part of it. So he's like, why don't I go back to football? And I think he's going to go to Miami.
Interesting. I mean, I know you're not the only one that thinks that.
I mean, I could be wrong. I wouldn't put money on it, but that's just the feeling I get.
Maybe he's on the phone with the Jets too. Hey, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't work out, you want to come play for us? You owned us all those years. You want to play for us now?
You know, I'm sure he would love to play against Bill Belichick twice a year.
Oh my God. Yeah. He's just on the field and he's just like, yeah, look at me. I get revenge on you.
I mean, I guess you get to do that with Miami too.
Yeah. It's true.
But, yeah, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, my hope is that he goes back to Green Bay and Jordan Love demands a trade. And they have to either piss him off by saying no, and then they have to decide at the in May on his fifth year option.
You know, I feel like Aaron Rodgers going back to Green Bay is ironically one of the better scenarios for the Bears because of the reasons you just said and, you know, the cap space and everything. Because I have two fears. One, my fear is that the Jets are going to cave and be stupid and give up a bigger haul than they need to, allowing the Packers to rebuild, and that gives us another headache. Or my fear is Jordan Love turns into another Hall of Famer.
The latter is my fear. The latter is my fear. That I'm not saying I don't think he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but what if he's pretty good?
Yeah, which I could see.
He was drafted in the first round.
I mean, they did trade up to get him. Remember that. But yeah, I mean, there are some aspects. I look at Jordan Love's game. I'm like, oh, that's I could actually kind of see that working out. I don't know, but it does worry me. I mean, obviously the Bears just have to be better as a team and as a unit. But, you know, even if Jordan Love is a solid quarterback, as long as we can be better, I mean, that's what really matters, right? I mean, I don't want them to have another Hall of Fame quarterback. You've had two. You've eaten your cake. Let us have some.
So right now, the Packers have $24 million of cap space left. If Aaron Rodgers decided he was retiring, they are $44 million over the cap.
Do you think that Aaron Rodgers would retire just to kind of be spiteful?
Oh, yeah. He's so petty. He's so petty.
I mean, that would be kind of crazy because it's like, you know, this dude still has something left in the tank. It might not be where he was from 2010 to 2021, but I still think there's something left in there. And, you know, I feel like there might be motivation for him to keep playing so he could win a second Super Bowl. At the same time, you know, what if he says, F this, I want to retire. And then he retires and then, you know, pulls another Brett Favre. I don't know. It's like, dude, just make up your mind already. We've been doing this how long? For how many off seasons? And frankly, I think nobody's more pissed than the Packers front office.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's their fault.
They caved.
They caved last year, and they're like, we're just going to give you a new contract. They could have just been like, you know what? If here's the one glimmer of hope I have. If they really thought Jordan Love was the guy, then why did they cave to Aaron Rodgers last year and give him all that money?
Well, and I asked that thing too, that same question too. It's like, you know, if they believed in Jordan Love last year, wouldn't you think they'd go out and be like, you know, we're just rolling with Jordan Love? I mean, especially considering that the fact that not only did you cave to Rodgers, which, you know, give Rodgers credit, he did milk them for every cent they could give, but think about the fact that like it put them in a crippling cap situation. Like, they were willing to do that. And I get that you're more willing to do that with an all-time great quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, but you also got to think at the same time, if you were ready to be like, you know what, we believe Jordan Love can be our next great quarterback, you would think you would be more tempted to go that route, not because you didn't want Aaron Rodgers' greatness playing for you, but the financial commitment was just so big.
Yeah, it's, if you really believe in the kid, then you take those financial resources and put weapons around him while he's inexpensive. You didn't. You said, fine, Aaron Rodgers, we're giving you a 3-year contract. It just, you know, it makes you wonder. And we heard rumblings before last season that, like, this kid doesn't know the playbook. So maybe he figures it all out, but if it was any other team, I would be like, not worried, but because they have that stupid voodoo magic, that why is it always our rivals that have these like crazy magic to be able to do things that nobody else can do?
The Packers, the Cardinals, all those years with the Red Wings.
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
Drives me crazy.
I mean, you know, it's funny because the Cardinals and the Packers are so similar. Like, my whole life, they've made the playoffs like 85% of their seasons. They've, you know, had our number in a number of areas. Obviously, the Cubs at least had the Cardinals' number for a little while, and we beat them in the playoffs, and we won a World Series. But, I mean, overall, it's like, you talk about Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers killing you. Remember what Albert Pujols used to do to us?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, those games he had at Wrigley Field were ridiculous. I mean, the multiple 3-home-run games, and it seems like you couldn't go a full series without Pujols hitting at least 2 home runs in that series. Like, you never thought you could get through that. And every time you think they're down for a while, they shoot right back up. Like, honestly, I thought the Cardinals were going to be mired in mediocrity for the next decade after we won in 2016. Next thing you know, they're getting Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado for packing peanuts, which still disgusts me to this day that they were able to pull that off. Not just that the Cardinals were able to pull that off, but I'm like, why can't we trade for something like that? Why is it when we had to make a trade for a player that we needed, like Jose Quintana, we had to give up an arm and a leg for that? Meanwhile, there's, you know, the Cardinals, who, give them credit, they took advantage of teams trying to sell off for money reasons. Paul Goldschmidt, okay, we'll give up something we won't care about. Oh, Nolan Arenado, same thing. We'll just take advantage of that right away. Why the hell couldn't we have done that?
Bad contracts.
And I think a little bit of fear.
That's true, too.
Because you know what? You look at the trades that the Cubs pulled off from like 2013 to 2016. Like, they were pretty much all worth it, right? Like, some of the prospects you got back, and then you traded for Miguel Montero, great trade. You traded for Dexter Fowler, great trade. You traded for Aroldis Chapman, it helped you win a World Series. Banners fly forever, you're not going to regret that. And then after that, it's like, okay, you traded for Justin Wilson, that didn't work out. You traded for Jose Quintana, you gave the White Sox, you know, Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease. And again, this is a Chicago sports show. I'm not trying to rag on the White Sox, but as a Cub fan, you know, that makes you think. And then, you know, just you had some free agent signings that did work out eventually, but the first year, you know, they didn't work out. Like, we could have used what we got from Yu Darvish in 19 and 20 in 2018. We didn't get that. We could have used Craig Kimbrell, what he did in 2021 and 2019. We got the exact opposite of that. So it's like, man, so much of this doesn't work out, and yet our rivals always seem to make, you know, things work, even if they didn't always take like the most orthodox approach. I mean, so yeah, it is frustrating, and you know, living your entire life being owned by the Packers, it just, you're so sick of it, you're so done with it, And all you can look at in these scenarios is how are the Bears going to get effed over and how is it going to benefit the Packers? How is Aaron Rodgers leaving going to make Jordan Love a Hall of Famer and then get an absolute haul? How is Aaron Rodgers staying going to continue him doing more torment on us and he rebounds and he wins 15 games in a Super Bowl? You go through all those scenarios and it's like the default is worst case scenario for the Bears or the Cubs. When you think about that stuff, it sucks.
I want to loop this back. Now that the Bears have that number 9 pick, I hear a lot of people wondering who's going to be available because the names we've been talking about with the number 1 overall pick or 2 or 4, it's going to be different names. And one thing I quickly want to address is I've seen a couple of 95% of people are super stoked about this trade. I hear 5% of people that are like, the Bears should have traded back to number 2, then traded back to 4. And if they wanted to go to 9, traded back to 9, and they would have wound up with, 5 first round picks. You know what? If that was available, Ryan Poles would have done it. I don't think that the Houston Texans were willing to trade up and give up anything significant to do it. Like maybe they would give up a third. That's, that offer was not there. Just because you say, do this trade, if the other team doesn't want to do it, you can't unilaterally make that decision. So you can't say, well, I would have traded back with Houston and got their first round pick next year and then traded back to 4 and got, this, that, and the other from Indianapolis. What if they say no?
Well, see, that's the right. I mean, we talked about the dream of trading back twice, once with the Texans and, trading back again with like the Colts or something, but it was a dream. We didn't know if it was ever even realistic.
I'm not even ruling out another trade back at, from 9. It's a possibility, but I think that will be a draft day. That'll be a, how does the board shake out? Somebody's falling. And somebody trades up to get a player that fell. Ryan Poles, his goal, and he told us he would like to make this trade before free agency because he wants to see, it's funny. He was very clear this past week because he was playing coy. Well, maybe we could trade Justin Fields. Then he went out and said, no, Justin Fields is our guy. And we bring Justin Fields into the draft room with us and let him see what our draft board looks like. That's not a guy that you're considering trading. That's a guy you're building around.
Right.
So once he started saying that, I went, oh, he must have a deal he likes ready to go because he's not having to play that game. And then he just came out and said, I'm confident I could get a 2024 and a 2025 first round pick. Because you know why he said that? Because he had the deal in hand. And when he reached a number that made sense to him or a return that made sense to him, he pulled the trigger. Because if you don't, what's to stop Carolina from getting cold feet and going, we gave up too much. We slept on this and we decided we're not doing that. And they pull that offer back. The bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. You have an amazing haul. You take that. And, maybe on draft day, the Texans would have broke down and been like, we need this guy. But when you get everything that you wanted and things are coming up your way, you take that. And, so that's why it was weird to me to see people dogging on this draft return or this trade return, because I listened to Charlotte sports radio and the Panther fans are woe is me. They are not happy.
Right. No, I mean, they gave up a lot to get one pick. And it's not like the Bears had to give up more draft capital in addition to the first overall pick. It was literally that entire package just for that first overall pick.
There's a podcast I listen to called the NFL Stock Exchange, and they did a 2-round mock interactive, I mean, live interactive. Like, so the two hosts, they took turns, you know, picking, and they would make some trades in there, and they did end up, they actually had the Bears trading down twice, but down to 9 with Carolina, and they wound up with Bears traded and got a second round pick from the Texans to move down to 2. And then they traded from 2 to 9 and they got a first and like swap first and they, or swap first from 2 to 9. And then they got another first, but the Bears had to sweeten it with a 4th next year. And that's what they thought would be fair compensation. And, right. And now that you see that, then you're like, okay, that's what two guys that do this professionally, like this is what their living is. They sports writers and podcasters. And that's what they thought would be a good return. And Ryan Poles got way more than that. And so, you know, we should be very happy with what we got.
The PFP simulator wouldn't accept the trade.
And that accepts everything.
Yeah. It did not accept the trade.
So it leaves us at number 9. Who could be the names we see? And again, depending on how this board plays out, don't be surprised. I don't think the Bears will trade down too terribly far, but I could see them trading with back to number 11. With Tennessee, that's a possibility. If somebody falls, I could see them possibly going back to 12 with the Texans. If the Texans go, oh, I'm starting to see a run on wide receivers, and there's a guy I want, there's nothing stopping them from moving up and going and getting somebody. And so I could see them going to 11, 12. I don't think the Jets or the Patriots trade up. They're not trading with the Packers. I think probably the limit maybe down to 16 with the Reds or the Washington football team or Commanders, whatever they call themselves this year. I think that's probably the latest, but I could see the Bears realistically going to 11 or 12. But the names I have as available to them would be Tyree Wilson, the edge from Texas Tech, who's like a physical specimen. Paris Johnson Jr., the offensive tackle from Ohio State. You know, probably at this point not taking him, but Jaxon Smith-Njigba, the wide receiver out of Ohio State. Lucas Van Ness, the defensive lineman slash edge rusher from Iowa. Roderick Jones, the offensive tackle from Georgia. Jordan Addison, the wide receiver from USC. Quentin Johnson, the wide receiver from Texas Christian. Miles Murphy, the edge rusher from Clemson. And a name I've dogged a little bit, Peter Skoronski.
That's getting a little more attention. He's getting a little more attention for the potential first pick for the Bears.
And I'm going to say why I decided to move him as a realistic possibility at number 9, even though I don't think he's... So he's got short arms. I don't think he'll be a tackle. I think he will be a guard. But I watched some film on him. I'd seen him play live, but going back and just isolating and watching film, I think he is going to be a fantastic, a possible Pro Bowl, all pro level guard.
All right. And so you're in on him now. All right.
So my thinking is, all right, do you take a guy who has probably. So the tackles in this draft are none of them are elite. Like Paris Johnson could be very good. Broderick Jones could be very good, but I don't think any of them are elite. So would you rather have an elite guard or a pretty good tackle? And I'm like, you know what? Ryan Poles kept talking about adding blue chip players. If you bring in an elite level guard in Skoronski, it allows you to move on from Cody Whitehair, saves you $10 million if you do a post 6-1 cut of him. So it brings you from $75 to $85 million to spend, and you upgraded the position. And if you have a healthy Tevin Jenkins and Peter Skoronski stepping in there with whoever you're going to put at center, that is a pretty darn good interior offensive line.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you have the whole offseason of getting stronger and working with the NFL staff of Braxton Jones, who technically was he graded out as the best rookie offensive lineman in that draft from that draft class. You get another year under his belt of getting stronger, put him back on the left side, and you sign a guy like Mike McGlinchey, plays the right side. Suddenly, that goes to be a pretty darn good offensive line.
I mean, you know, you mentioned it on Twitter yesterday, and I think that it would give a lot of Bears fans relief that if you're number nine, you can get one of the better offensive linemen in this draft, because the goal, I think, for a lot of us was if we were going to be top five, we were looking at the edge rushers. I mean, mm-hmm. And edge rushing is something you desperately, desperately need, but what do we need, especially for Justin Fields? And what does Ryan Poles say he wants to do? He wants to beat you in the trenches, and you need to protect your quarterback. So if you took offensive line, good offensive line first overall, I don't think anybody is going to complain. And I think it makes a lot of sense.
I think at number nine, not only do you get one of the better offensive linemen, you get your pick. I don't think there's another offensive lineman that'll be drafted in the first eight picks.
I'd be surprised if there was.
I don't think there will be. The one name, though, I'm going to throw a sleeper name that potentially, and we never would have thought this 3 weeks ago, a potential sleeper name that could fall to number nine, Jalen Carter.
I knew exactly where you were going with this.
I still don't think so. Like, I had him, so I ended up mocking my first 10 picks. And I'll probably revise this, but I have Carolina going with number one, CJ Stroud, Houston, number two, Bryce Young, three, the Raiders trading up to three to draft Will Levis. Four, Indianapolis takes Anthony Richardson. Seattle takes Will Anderson at five. Detroit takes Christian Gonzalez, the best corner in the draft,
mm-hmm.
at six. Arizona goes back to seven, and Jalen Carter falls to them. So they get the guy that they would have taken probably anyway and trade back to seven to get him. So I think that plays out there. I have Atlanta drafting Tyree Wilson, who's probably the second best pass rusher in the draft. So then at nine, Bears are probably not taking one of the wide receivers. And I put down Paris Johnson Jr., but you know, that's pre-free agency. I think free agency will kind of dictate a little bit of what the Bears do as well, because if they sign Mike McGlinchey to be the right tackle, I don't think Paris Johnson makes sense, because then what do you do with Braxton Jones, who actually played pretty well last year?
Yeah, I think it's safe to bet that Braxton Jones is probably going to be in the fold next year. So you do have to consider that. I do agree.
So I think that sort of makes Paris Johnson a little bit, not a wise pick for now. So then you either go with one of the lesser overdraft, one of the other pass rushers, or you go with Skoronski, who, you know, probably you're drafting him a little high, but technically he is so sound. And if the guy, if Peter Skoronski had arms that were 2 inches longer, even an inch and a half longer, he's absolute lock to go top seven as an elite left tackle. But his short arms, everyone goes, nope. And I think if the Bears don't pick him there at nine, I think he probably falls to 16, 17 because of that. But if at nine, you want to get blue chip players, and do you care if you overdrafted a guy in the first round by six or seven or eight picks, if he turns out to be a Pro Bowl level guy?
No,
not at all. You don't care about where you drafted him. Especially if he's an all pro, if he's ends up being one of the best tech guards in the game, you don't even think twice about that you overdrafted him. So, that's what I'm like, you know what? And what if you get him into your camp and you try him at tackle and you go, oh, hey, you know what? This kid can actually play. You still probably kick him in at guard, but you know that if Braxton Jones suddenly regresses or gets injured,
there's comfort with versatility.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Knowing that you could play, if he shows he can do it, that he could potentially be a four position player.
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely.
So I'm warming up to the idea. I just want to preface it by saying that if you draft him, he's replacing Cody Whitehair at guard.
Yes. Yes. Now, I wanted to ask you this question, and this goes into free agency, just thinking about it. So we traded out of the top five, and we mentioned that there might be a scenario where Carter falls, depending on what's happening. Personally, I'm not betting on it. If I was a betting man, I would not bet on him falling down that far, even with everything that's going on. I still think he's probably going to be gone. So if your feeling is that if he is indeed going to be gone and you're not going to be in that top five, do you go out in free agency and bring in some guys that can get to the quarterback? One guy I'm going to ask is, sounds like Za'Darius Smith is moving on. I know he's older. I know he is. I don't know what the asking price is going to be, but is that someone you would maybe consider in being like, hey, you know what? We might not be able to draft the guys we wanted in the drafts to, you know, get to the quarterback. You know, maybe we take somebody somewhere else, but we want a little more insurance. Would you bring in somebody like that?
I mean, Ryan Poles has pretty much told us he doesn't want to sign free agents that are 30 year old, like that their age starts with three. And Za'Darius Smith definitely does. But there's not a lot of pass rushers in this free agency.
You need something, man.
I mean,
you just do.
Frank Clark is there, but he's over 30. You know, maybe Khalil Mack gets released and you could try to bring him back. But again, he's 30. You know, that's sort of the reality of where you are. And I think it's going to come down to, if you're going to sign a guy who's 30, you're not going to do it early in free agency. You're going to wait and to be one of those guys that sits on the market for a little bit and ends up being one of those second or third wave free agency guys, and you see who's left, because then you get him on a shorter deal for lesser money and there's less risk in having a 30 some year old pass rusher.
Yeah. And I mean, look, you know, you mentioned Ryan Poles about free agency and older, and I get it, because especially at that position, pass rusher, when you get over that 30 mark, you could drop like a rock. There's a lot of positions in football where 30 is considered like the 40 or like late 30s of either the quarterback or a bunch of other sports. You know,
well, like, I mean, there's guys that age like fine wine. You look like Jason Pierre-Paul, or, you know, there's been a bunch of guys that, you know, they can't play the number of snaps. Like, you have to snap watch them, but when you put them in, they make the most of the snaps that they play.
They are. I mean, yes, but there is still a dime a dozen when you think about the whole scope of things.
So you just have to be very careful. You don't want to pay a premium. And usually those guys that age like fine wine, they become mercenaries and they play for the teams that, sure, are going to go for the Super Bowl, because those are the teams that they want to win. And those are the teams that, like, well, that's the, you know, that's the bonus that they need to kind of push them over the edge. You don't want to go to a team that was the worst record in football. But, you know, if you're Za'Darius Smith, and part of the motivation is you still get to play Green Bay twice a year, and you get to play Minnesota twice a year.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, so maybe that's, I mean, I'm not going to rule it out, but I'm probably not thinking that's going to be the most likely.
Yeah. I'm not putting money on that. It's just thinking about ideas. Cause look, you need to get to the quarterback next year.
You do.
You need to.
I just don't know the way you do it. And just looking at the weak free agent class and kind of a weak draft class, honestly, my take is, you know what? Put all your resources into making the offense better. And whatever you can do to shore up the defense is just gravy. Because I think you can't, you know, I initially thought, all right, you know what, add something to offense, add something to defense, and kind of bring them both up a notch. I think it behooves you to put all your eggs, you know, or most of your eggs in the offensive basket, because Justin Fields has to take a huge leap this year, and you want to give him every opportunity. And fans, I think, can live with if you have a stupid good offense that's putting up points on everybody, and the defense, it just stinks.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, remember how fun it was when they were putting up points last year, even though they were losing and giving up a ton? Yep.
And I think we might have a situation it might be a case where, hey, our defense just needs to be good enough to be a speed bump to teams, maybe get a turnover here and there. But I don't know how much pass rush you're going to get. If you could just slow down the run,
that's a big thing.
I think passing, I'm less concerned about, because if you get in a shootout, okay, you just can't let a team's run all over you, because that's
they control, right? Right. Because they control the clock. They control the game. And listen, you struggled on both run defense and getting to the quarterback last year. The good thing is I still do like our secondary.
I do too. So I threw together a list of some free agents that you could see the Bears bringing in.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously this list is way more than, you know, feasibly possible to sign, but these are the names that at least interested me, or I think the Bears could kick the tires on. The first name is just because he's the biggest name on the market, Orlando Brown.
Guess. Yep.
Orlando Brown Jr. But I don't think he had that good of a, he had a really good Super Bowl, but he did not have a really good season and didn't have a good most of the playoffs. I don't know if I'm paying that money.
That does kind of scream overpay.
And he's a left tackle. You're going to have to play a right tackle. I'm sort of out on him, but just being the biggest name tackle on the market, you have to at least think that the Bears are going to talk to him. A guy that I think the Bears should really, really consider is Mike McGlinchey, the offensive tackle from the 49ers. I think that fits in well. There's some other tackles that a little bit younger, probably a little less expensive, but you know, there's one who's an excellent run blocker, but can't pass block worth a shit. The other one's a good pass blocker, but can't run block worth a shit. So I think Mike McGlinchey's probably your best option. Is he elite? No. Are you going to pay him a lot? Yes. But it's you finally will figure out that right tackle position and allow this to stop being a turnstile in the right side.
Yeah, I think that plus you're coming from San Francisco, that they are just connoisseurs over there of offensive line play, just offensive line or an offensive play in general.
I would almost guarantee. Okay, I'm not going to say that. I will say there's a 75% chance that one of these next two names will be a Bear. Javon Hargrave or Draymond Jones. One's the defensive tackle from the Eagles. One's defensive tackle from Denver. Hargrave is better, has a better resume, but he's 30. But he's coming from that elite Eagles defense. Draymond Jones isn't as good, but he's younger, cheaper, and ascending, coming from Denver. I think one of those two guys will be a Bear. And I don't think Justin Jones gets traded, but I think he gets a lot of his snaps taken away.
A little demotion. Yeah, I could see that.
I think that contract is not that bad, and he was good enough to keep him in a rotation. But I think one of those two guys becomes a Bear. And like I said, I think you work on stopping the run and then worry about pass rushing later. Let's see who else on this list. Zach Allen. He's a free agent defensive end from Arizona. Not that high on him, but he's an ascending player. He's one of those guys that you're signing him, not based off of past production, but hope for the future. David Long, linebacker from Tennessee. Marcus Davenport, edge rusher from New Orleans. He's probably one of your more experienced, polished edge rushers on the market. Tremaine Edmonds, linebacker out of Buffalo. I know he's kind of a polarizing guy, but he's still so young. I mean, he came into the NFL at like 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like 24 right now and a free agent. I like him. But you know, we'll see how that goes. Yannick Ngakoue, the edge rusher, from Indianapolis. Pass rushing wise, he's very good. His quarterback pressure numbers are always very high. He's just not good against the run. That's what worries me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Powers, the guard that Baltimore just let go. A name that I think is a realistic one, and he would be a later wave signing, but because of the productivity you've seen him have, and his ties with the Flus, is Rock Ya-Sin, the cornerback from Las Vegas. He was Vegas this year, but he was with the Colts the previous year with Eberflus. Puna Ford, defensive tackle from Seattle. Abonia Akoronikwa, defensive end out of Houston. Not a name that people really know, but he actually had some pretty good production. Nate Davis, a guard from Tennessee. And one last one, Jadeveon Clowney.
Mm-hmm.
I know he'll never live up to being that number one overall pick, but the guy's still pretty good edge rusher, and
be an improvement, that's for sure.
Oh, I mean, you know,
ain't saying much, but
yeah,
point stands.
You know, George McCaskey in a uniform might be an improvement over what they've had.
Suck my purple crayon.
So those are the names that are, you know, interesting that I think could be names bandied around for the Bears. And I thought of another name that could be a better pass rushing option than what they had last year is Sister Jean in her wheelchair from Loyola. She put a helmet on her.
Yeah, let her go at it.
I mean, she's going to be better than some of the guys that they had rushing the passer.
She's been alive as long as the Bears have existed.
I know, right? And then one more name I bandied about as a potential backup for Justin Fields. Jacoby Brissett.
Okay.
I thought he played really well in Cleveland last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's been around a while. He's a nice veteran. I think between his time in Indianapolis and Cleveland and New England, I think he gives you another voice in the room with Justin Fields to help him out. I don't think he's going to get the opportunity to be a starter. I think he's a better backup quarterback than what you have, and you have the money to pay a backup quarterback. I kind of like Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't really think about the backup QB position, honestly, because I mean, isn't Simeon under one more year?
He is, but I mean, the one time you needed him to really come in, he got hurt in warmups.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody was that high on him anyway. Like, you have to pay Jacoby Brissett more, but I he's a much better quarterback. You know, if he comes in,
oh, I agree.
You think he gives you an opportunity to win games, and especially if, you know, Justin Fields is a very physical player, and there's, you know, you assume that at some point he's going to get sore ribs and can't play, or you know, not even like injuries, but like things where he gets hurt and can't play for a couple of games. Having a real quarterback in there like Jacoby Brissett, I think, goes a long way. You know, you might have to sign him later because obviously his first option is going to be, all right, who are the teams that need a quarterback? You know, he's going to reach out to the Jets. He's going to reach out to the Buccaneers. He's going to reach out to, you know, a bunch of these teams through his agents saying, hey, is there an opportunity for me to start or at least compete for the starting spot? And then if he gets a bunch of no's, then it goes, all right, what's the best backup situation? And I think the Bears probably a good one because, you know, if they do rebuild the offensive line and you've got these weapons, you're stepping in if Justin Fields gets hurt. That's it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair.
I mean, you know, here's his options for at least competing for a starting job. Depending on what happens with Garoppolo and Aaron Rodgers, the Raiders, depending on what happens with probably Jimmy Garoppolo. See, Bills, no. Dolphins, probably no. Patriots, no. Chiefs, no. Chargers, no. Broncos, no. Bengals, no. I'm operating on the assumption that Lamar Jackson is returning to Baltimore, so no. Steelers, no. Browns, no. Jags, no. maybe the Titans, but I doubt it. Colts are going rookie. Maybe probably not the Texans because they're going to have draft a quarterback. Eagles, no. Cowboys, no. Giants, no. Who knows? What are the Commanders doing? Maybe the Commanders. 49ers, no. Seahawks, no. Rams, probably no. I don't know what the Cardinals are going to do. Maybe the Cardinals as a stopgap. Vikings, no. Lions, no. Packers, no. Bears, no, as far as starting. Buccaneers, maybe. Panthers, no. Saints, no. Falcons, maybe, as a veteran competition, a Ritter. So, I mean, I think there's a strong possibility he's not going to get a offer to at least compete for the starting job. So maybe that's is a possibility.
Yeah, we'll see.
Let's see. The only other things I had to say were the legal tampering. So basically free agency opens up this coming Tuesday at 11 in the morning, Chicago time. So we are really right on the door of this happening. And that's going to it. What the Bears do in free agency is really going to help shape how they attack this draft, because you know, if they get a McGlinchey, then I think then Skoronski probably is a name. Skoronski and Tyree Wilson are the guys that they're, or Jalen Carter are the guys that they're hoping for.
Yeah, I would think so.
Even,
you know, I mean, I still think Carter's kind of a pipe dream dropping down, but I think now it's a bit more possible.
I think it is. I'm not going to call it a pipe dream, but I'm going to say it is a reasonable long shot.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Like, I think probably you're looking, I'm saying 10 to 1 odds. Like, that's, it's well within the reasonable, especially considering, you know, if they still haven't cleared him and any legal issue is hanging over his head, I think teams are going to, especially when you're drafting that high, you're like, can we risk that? But I think there's a 1 in 10 chance that he could fall to the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's impossible. I won't say that.
And then looking at the position groups, you know, you start looking at, obviously they need depth across the board, but the defensive backs, you're happy with the starters. And honestly, I'm fairly okay with the backups. We saw a lot of young cornerbacks play last year, and we saw them play pretty well. I still would like to see them bring in a veteran cornerback. Like, you know, I think that would be a good opportunity for a Rocky Sin. But a depth veteran, I think we need significant help at linebacking core. I mean, Jack Sanborn was a fine player, but I think you need some significant upgrades there. Defensive linemen, you need all new defensive linemen. I think wide receiver, you're okay. Tight end, you need to add more depth. Significant need at offensive line, you're okay at quarterback. And I think you need depth / complementary players at running back.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that.
And then the last thing I want to say is I am pro Bears bringing in Lovie Smith to make their second round draft selection.
Yeah, right. Show some appreciation.
Oh my God. Could you imagine if they brought Lovie Smith out to make that pick, you know, cause they have like a non-commissioner do the second round. And if they had Lovie Smith come out, man, that would just be such an awesome thing to see.
It really would. I would absolutely go crazy if they did. And I think any Bears fans at the draft would shower him with love.
Where is the draft this year? Is it Kansas City?
I was asking some people the other day where it was because I honestly didn't know. Let's look up 2023 draft. Schedule. Yep, Kansas City, Union Station.
Part of me is tempted to go. Like, I've been to the draft a bunch of times. I obviously went when it was in Chicago, and I went a bunch of times when it was in New York. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun. Obviously, it's way more fun when, I mean, New York was neat, just because it was, you know, everyone was coming to New York. But Chicago was cool because it was so many Bears fans.
Right.
You know, but I don't know, maybe I consider going this year again. It is a good time. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I really only wanted to talk Bears on this episode. I know there's a lot going on in spring training, but this was a pure Bears show, and I'm sure next week we'll have plenty of baseball.
Next week we're going to be talking about all the awesome players the Bears brought in free agency, too.
That's true. And some baseball.
And, well, yeah, I mean, we got to talk World Baseball Classic, and, you know, there's lots of good baseball stuff.
For sure. But yeah, no, this was a show that I thought was really, really going to be a fun one. And it has been, you know, and I hope our listeners too, I hope everybody listening to the show shares with their Bears fan friends, because this is a very historic time for the Chicago Bears. This is a time where you've never had a first round pick. You can't remember if you've ever gotten a haul like this before. I don't think they have in terms of trading back. I mean, usually we're the ones giving up the haul for something, whether that's trading for Jay Cutler, trading for Khalil Mack, trading up to get Justin Fields. We're the ones getting the haul, rebuilding around a quarterback that has more talented attributes than we ever have, while they're planning building a new stadium and they have a new president and CEO with the sports background. I mean, this is such a different time for the Chicago Bears, something we've been begging for decades. And, you know, we just hope as many people follow us on this journey as possible.
Yeah. I couldn't said it better myself. So that's going to do it for this episode of Bill Swirsky Sports Talk Chicago. I want to thank everybody so much for listening. Please hit subscribe however you listen to podcasts, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Google Play, Spotify, etc. Share this podcast with your friends. It's how we grow the show. Follow us on social media at Swirsky Sports, facebook.com/SwirskySports, SwirskySports.com, or ShyFanPat2 for Alex on Twitter, or AlexanderJPatCreative.com for all the cool stuff that Alex does. And again, thank you guys so much for listening. And until next time, bear down.
What a lucky break! The good Lord wants the Cubs to win!
We thank Ditka and God for all they have provided.
Cubs win! Cubs win! Cubs win!
Oh, I don't want her, you can have her. She's a Packer fan. She can't fit in my van. And she looks like...
Remember, New Yorkers, smoking crack is not legal on planes.
Bears 31 to -7.
The Bears.
Oh, when the Bears go bearing down.